Before I start, right before service, I was outside getting ready to talk to one of the stations, and somebody asked to talk to me, and I said I couldn't talk. Is that you? I'll be right there after service, okay? Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's try that one more time. Take a deep breath in. Say word. Okay. All you need to do is turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 14. Where's James? Where's chapter 2? Let me read that. Verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" Everyone say works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister says, or if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, or a fire victim, and says to you, and you say to them, "Depart in peace, be warm, be filled," but we're not going to help you, that what does it profit? Thus also by faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18. Someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. If you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by his works, not by his faith only." 7 days ago, we were sitting in here. We had smoke filling this room, and you could smell the fire. And you went home and heard on the news that night there were fires, and probably definitely by the next morning. Between then and today, this church building and the congregation, especially the building, became a distribution center for fire relief. It became an evacuation center. We had 344 people sleep here this weekend. It became a convalescent home, as you'll see in a few minutes. It became a group home, as you'll see in a few minutes. It became a movie theater, and then it went back to becoming a church. And we want to share with you tonight that story, because it was one of the most amazing weeks of my life in ministry. So watch this video.
We have certain factions that we've been able to control and walk the fire down ridge lines and take the fuel away. When the whole fire is controlled, there's not segments of it. That's the point where we can remove the resources.
For that have been talking with the military, and that those assets will be available.
About 7:30, 8 o'clock, it looked like we had a good knockdown on the fire. It seemed like it had died down in the smoke sections, but it was
ring that just, you know, paints the perfect picture about what's going on in our county right now.
When we went outside, you could just see the flames. And so we got a few extra things together and took off.
Today's October 23rd, and it is so exciting to see all the people of The Rock respond to an email and the fire relief efforts. We live in a fantastic city where people are volunteering countless hours and gallons of water and food, et cetera, and The Rock Church is no different. We put out an email, and we have hundreds of people here showing up with food and clothes and blankets, and we're also receiving evacuees from around the county to stay at our church, and we're very excited and honored to serve them. So we hope it's a blessing for them. It sure is a blessing for us.
When we heard The Rock was open, we were literally 5 minutes from taking the long way to Vegas through Needles.
Hopefully the house is there and we can go back soon.
If not, we'll
find someplace.
We'll find something.
We got each other. That's what counts. Very thankful that you guys done everything you've done. I have my four children, and I have a nephew and a niece. We were evacuated on Tuesday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we went to Qualcomm. But here, you're just surrounded by the Spirit of the Lord. And there's somebody to pray with, and very warm, and lots of food. I think I've gained some weight. Lots of food, and lots of friendly people. I make new friends with the staff, with the other evacuees, and other stories to share, you know, people telling you what they're going through. Sometimes you're feeling like, you know, wow, you know, it's not that bad, and then sometimes you're feeling like, you know, it's that bad, so. Evacuated your home yet?
You know, one of the many ways people from the Rock have been helping with this crisis is the 211 call center, and this is the overflow call center. All the people calling for information on where to get a shelter or how to help.
You know what? It's been a blessing having you here. It really, it truly has been. It truly has been. God is good.
So it's really exciting to see people from the Rock step up, and they're answering calls of people in distress all over San Diego. Administer to them when necessary. So let me encourage you to go out there and serve your fellow neighbor. Just as Christ loved us, let's go love them.
To the congregation, God bless you for all your support and your donations and coming out and volunteering. And I wish I knew every one of you, and big hugs and blessings to y'all.
Amen. What we want to do is take you through day by day and tell you what happened. How many of y'all came here sometime this week? Raise your hand. Amen. Let's give those people a hand. Amen. You know, I've been in ministry for a long time. And 20-something years, and this was probably the most fulfilling week I've ever had. It was incredible, and it was because of all that y'all did and all the other people who aren't here. It was just incredible. Well, let me just start from the beginning. On Monday, or Sunday, the fire started in the morning, 9:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. On Monday, we had our first staff briefing about the fire. At 2 o'clock, we sent some people down to Qualcomm to start volunteering down at Qualcomm. At 3 o'clock, we got a call for a request for 70 people to go to the NBC building and start answering the phone calls. When you saw on TV, they kept telling people to call 211 to get information. Well, from 6 to midnight on Monday and much of the other off-peak time for the rest of the week, the people from our church was answering those calls. And if we didn't go, I don't know who else would have gone, but we were the ones manning those phones answering the calls for the people around San Diego. The fire kept growing, and as you know, it burned 760-something square miles. There were just under 2,000 homes destroyed. A half a million people were evacuated out of the homes. How many of y'all were evacuated? Okay, I was evacuated on Monday. We actually left a little early just to get it out of the way so I can, you know, focus on this work. So we went out and left our home. As a matter of fact, when we left, my neighbors were in the cul-de-sac on my street. They were going, "We're going to stay, and we're just going to wait it out." So I was like, "Okay, I'll see you later." And by the time they got evacuated, there were no more rooms in the hotels, you know. And so, But we got a room, and we right down here in Point Loma, which is great because I can get to the church real quick. But 500,000 people were evacuated. And, you know, the real heroes during all that time were not the blue and gold Chargers, even though, you know, we love the Chargers and celebrities. But, you know, playing football and being an actor or actress is not being a hero. It's really what you do to help somebody. And the real heroes were the brothers and sisters wearing the yellow. And wait, before we're going to do this all one time, because we got one of those brothers here. He's Jimmy Fierro. He's a battalion chief. And let's give him and all the firefighters a round of applause. Amen. Say Jesus! Amen. 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 How many of y'all wanted to be a fireman when you were little? Which was like last week. Some of y'all, some of y'all still want to be a fireman. When I retired from football, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no idea I would go into ministry. As a matter of fact, ministry was not even an option. I figured I didn't know the Bible. I was just a new Christian. And I said, I'm going to be a fireman. And it didn't work out, so I wasn't qualified. But anyway, it's good to have you here. Tell us your title, what you do. You're a big chief.
No, I'm only 5'5", so I'm not that big.
You're a little chief?
Little chief. I'm a battalion chief with San Diego City Fire Department, which means I cover a geographical portion of the city, 7 stations, 44 personnel, 22 pieces of fire apparatus.
Okay. We smelt the smoke on Sunday, and we know that when we saw the smoke, but we know that you guys knew a whole lot more than we knew before we knew it. So tell us what you knew before we know it, that you knew how you do it, what you were going to do.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah, I got that. So what we knew was that some fires had started up. We knew that we were in for some extreme winds, especially for San Diego County and city. We had some computer models that take into consideration the wind, the topography, the fuel moisture, and wrap that information together and give us a timeline and a destination of the fire front.
Okay, so the computer says the fire's in Ramona, the wind's blowing this speed, the hills go up and down like this, and the plants are this old or dry and moist, so the fire's going to do that in an hour.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, pretty good. So you go out there and fight the fire. I've been on ride-alongs with the fire department, and usually it's a cat stuck in a tree or, you know, someone twisted their ankle and they could roll up in this big old truck, and they're like, man. You know? And now you have the beast coming at you.
Yep, got the real thing heading in.
Tell us the difference between this fire and a big house or something.
Well, when you've got one building, whether it's a house or, you know, a commercial building, you have a focus on that building. And comparatively, obviously, that's small. And a fire like this, your thinking has to really expand. You're thinking about developments. You're thinking about blocks. You're thinking about large pieces of, you know, geography. You're thinking about the topography. Where is this fire going next? Can we hold it here? If we can't, where's it going? How's it going to get there? How are we going to get ahead of it? So you're really thinking big.
Okay. Tell these youngins, because they're all everybody out there just about as younger than you.
Not me, though. I think so.
Not me, but you.
Yeah.
Tell them about the heat and the oven and the dragon, the mouth of the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon's hot. You know, he breathes pretty hot there. But, you know, you've all been in a situation where you've opened that oven door at home and you get hit by that little blast of heat. Well, it's similar to that, except for it's a lot hotter than that. Okay, a lot hotter. And in this case, it was sustained with 60, 70 mile an hour winds. And those winds pick up anything they want to pick up. You're talking about all the ash that's already burnt. You're talking about, you know, sand. You're talking about embers that are 3, maybe 6 inches long, hot, red, burning embers. And all of that coming at you and pelting you, you know, for the duration. You're talking about that wind blowing the tile loose on the roofs of the houses, and you're dodging the tile as it falls down. Hmm. You're dealing with that. The first wave we got was about an hour.
Hmm. So for all of you who do cook, or maybe you could just ask your mom about the oven thing, but you put it on 350 degrees and open it, this is 700 degrees and more, blowing at 60 miles an hour at your face with the stuff you just cooked all burnt up, blowing out at you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's like, okay? So now normally the fire's blowing, the fire's going through the valley, and usually you're on both sides of the fire instead of in front of the fire. But this time you're in front of the fire.
This time we're in the front of the fire. Traditionally, you want to approach the fire from each side and work toward the head of the fire, pinch it off, and that's the safe way of doing it. But in this case, we had a tremendous length of fire front coming. And in order to get in and save the buildings, the neighborhoods, the houses, mm-hmm. we had to just get on the front of the fire. And we literally watched it come over a couple ridges, across the valley and up the hill and right into us. So we just faced it head on, and okay. we won.
Now, I know there's a lot of aggressive people out here, work out, and we like to just work. And once you get your adrenaline flowing, you don't want to stop.
Right.
If you think about any sports y'all play, when you get going and you're winning or you're competing, you don't want to stop. And here you are fighting this fire that's like it's like an animal, and you're trying to beat it down, to kill it. So you went out there on a Sunday. How do you ever rest? And tell us about when you went home and how much rest you had between Sunday and when you went home.
Well, I went out Sunday and I came home Thursday afternoon. And I know between Sunday morning and Tuesday night, I had 3 hours of sleep. You just hunker down. You just dig in deep and press on. And then between Tuesday and Thursday, there was a few other hours thrown in there. Mm-hmm. But not much.
You know how you get cranky when you miss your afternoon nap? this is like 3-4 days. And what did God teach you in all of that? I'm sure you were praying. And, thinking about hell a lot with that heat blowing on you. What was God teaching you, talking to you about?
Yeah. Well, that heat reminds you don't want to go there.
Exactly.
I've had my share, see? Well, what was real obvious to me was in Ephesians where, God talks about don't be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to be calm. And so I prayed for that calmness. I prayed for sound mind.
Yeah, Philippians 4,
good
right?
Good judgment,
mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
judgment. And obviously, to keep us safe, we want to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And as I prayed that prayer, and it wasn't very long, we're talking, you can get through that prayer in 8 seconds or something, right? I definitely felt God's peace mm-hmm. on me and knew that it was time for me to pay attention and that everything would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew from prayer that He would sustain us. That He would sustain us to do His work. And when you go to do God's work for His will and His reason, He gives you everything you need.
What can we do? How can we pray right now for the firefighters that are out there today, still fighting right now? It's not over. I mean, it seems like it's over because all the hype and tension is gone, but they're still out there fighting these fires and fighting fires every day, protecting us. Mm-hmm. How can we pray for them?
Well, number one that everyone always prays for and we deeply appreciate it and need it is that hand of protection. We need God's protection in what we're doing. And, I would ask you pray for their health. We ate a lot of smoke, and there's, mm-hmm. Men and women out there still eating a lot of smoke and the respiratory, illnesses that come with that. And to think of the family. We want our families, the firefighters' families, to be protected. We want the wives that are at home, the husbands that are home, to take care of the kids and all those things while we're gone, to have the strength they need, the discernment they need, mm-hmm. and to bless those marriages and keep that family unit strong.
Okay. Let's pray for them. Before we do, a couple things. In the fire department, there's a very high rate of divorce, and we want to pray for their marriages, and police department as well. There's a very high rate of divorce in those marriages. And whenever you see one of the firemen or firewomen, firefighter, police officer, male or female, just go up to them, and they'll probably think you're a weirdo, but that's okay. Just, be a weirdo for a minute and just say, listen, I want to just express our appreciation to what you do for us, because when you need a cop, when you need a fireman, you are so happy to see them. And so, let's bless them even when we're not in crisis and let them know how appreciative we are. We make a big deal of celebrities, and I understand that. But, you know, it really is not important compared to this. This is a life-saving job, and they put their life on the line for us. So I want to encourage you to go up and tell them. And some of y'all, you might not know what you want to do when you grow up. Be a fireman. Be a cop. Go out and serve the community and put your life on the line for our community and for your neighbor. Amen? Let's all pray for them. Lord, we thank you for Jimmy. We thank you for the police and the firemen. We thank you for all the paramedics and the nurses and all the people who serve us every day. And Lord, we do not want to take for granted that you established the authority in communities and the authority structure in communities to keep the peace. And we thank you for that. And we pray that we can bless them when we see them. We pray you heal their marriages and use the churches in the community to heal their marriages. We pray you protect them as they're out in the front lines every day, even as we sit here. They're out there fighting fires. And we pray that you heal them and protect their lungs from all the smoke that they inhaled this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them one more round of applause. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
All right, brother.
Thanks for being here today. Okay. Amen. 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 If he's there at the end, go get his autograph or something. You know, just go say hi to him, make him feel loved. I don't know if he's going home, but he's been here all day. Okay, that was Monday. On Tuesday, we decided we were going to open our building up to be an evacuation center. Now, we did not know exactly what that meant, but we knew that there were people getting evacuated by the thousands. Towns were getting, you know, zip codes were getting evacuated. So we didn't know how many people would show up here wanting a place to sleep, how long they would stay, if they were going to be sleeping in here, which we didn't. We were like, we don't want to, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here we had to protect. And so we said, we're going to do it. At 8:30 on Tuesday, we said, we're going to open up our place. At 9 o'clock, we had a staff meeting, told the staff, and 1,000 questions. How are we going to do this? What are we going to do? How many people are coming? We don't have any cots. We don't have any pillows. We don't have any food. We had nothing. But we had to do something. So we said, we're going to figure it all out. Let's go. And so at 9:18, we sent the email out to a lot of y'all, text message. We sent a press release to all the media stations. They put it on the news. We literally had people drive into Qualcomm, and they heard it on the radio and went, and brought this stuff over here. And at 10 o'clock till like past midnight, we had cars dropping stuff off. Y'all who were here, no. And we had caravans of people just taking stuff in through the front door, all through the building. And we collected all that stuff, 1,500 cases of water. I want you to multiply that by 10 or 20 bottles. And that's just all that stuff that came in on Tuesday. What does it say up there? 150 loaves of bread. Again, that was probably before noon. 350 boxes of pastries, 800 boxes of breakfast foods, 540 cans of food. I mean, these are just all like Tuesday. They counted this stuff rough. It was just massive. We had classrooms full of toiletries. It smelled like Rite Aid store. You know when you got Rite Aid store and your nose gets all cleared up? It was like that. So anytime I started my allergies, I would just go in this room and go, and it would just clear my head. So we had rooms of kids' clothes, adult clothes, sleeping bags piled up to the ceiling, and it was just filling up. So what happened was we had 800 volunteers, a whole Costco full of stuff, and 12 evacuees. 12. So we were like, eat this food, wear these clothes, sleep on these pillows. We had all kind of stuff. So each evacuee had like a whole room of a month of food, 50 people on top of them trying to, we had 9 doctors per evacuee. You know, there's got to be something wrong with you. We're going to make something wrong with you. It was hilarious. So what happened was no one was coming here because, you know, it was new and we weren't yet certified. Even though the media was telling people about us, we weren't certified. I don't know what God just said, y'all need to just organize all the stuff first. So the first day we organized the stuff. Well, what happened was people were calling us saying, we need bread, we need water, we need clothes, we need sleep bags. And we had all this stuff and no people. We had nothing. We didn't have one cot. We had people bringing cots in here. We had someone call and say, we need 48 cots. We can't give you 48 cots. A few minutes later, someone called and said, we have 50 cots we want to give you. So we just went, Whoop. So what happened was somewhere, some reason, a decision was made on the third floor, and I don't know who did it, but it was a great decision, that we were going to become a distribution center. We were going to start sending this stuff out by the truckload all over San Diego to the people who needed it. And so two of the people there, again, there were many, many people who were instrumental in all this happening, who stepped up. So don't think that these were the main people. It just so happened these are the people we got up here today. But we do want to thank all you who stepped up and were here 24 hours. We have people here 24 hours a day. But two of those people were Keith and Kira. So I want you to give them a hand as they come on up. Give them a hand as they come on up. Okay, here we got a ton of pile of stuff, food, water, sleeping bags. We had like 39 pets. We had a pet zoo in the back. We had a wall of dog, cat food. We had birds. We had dogs. We had cats. We had monkeys. We had a bunch of stuff. Tell us how we became a distribution center.
I have a desk right by the window facing out here on Truxton. And somehow it just happened. I'm not sure exactly what time, but things just kept pouring in, like you said. And then the phone kind of rang, and it was just someone saying, "Hey, can you help us out with whatever the first order was?" I don't even remember. I think that was Tuesday. It might have been 2 weeks ago. I don't know. And it was just kind of like looking out the window, and the command center was right there. And it was like, "We want to be a distribution center. Why not?" And so that was Tuesday. And so we started moving some supplies to different areas, El Cajon, San Diego High School, and some other areas. And that, it was really unorganized at first. Kira was one of the first volunteers that volunteered to take a truckload of stuff out of there. And so throughout the week, that grew, the organization grew, the volunteers grew, and all y'all that were out there, you should be up here on stage with us. There were, hundreds of people that helped us. But eventually, we haven't gotten the final tally. We stopped counting as of Friday, the people we'd helped Friday, and it was over 10,000. And it's not like it stopped. There's people out there in trucks right now. And during the break, we got a call from our brothers and sisters at the Tribal Council of the La Jolla Indians in Palma Valley. We've been helping them out, but we found out through our contact at the San Diego Foundation that they still hadn't gotten any relief. Just their tribe lost 58 homes out in Palma Valley, and they don't have any casinos. La Jolla Indians don't have it, so they don't have any resources. So they were out there with nothing, just what we gave them 2 days ago, and it was gone. So we've been down here, but sometime between now and when the 5 o'clock service started, those Indians that we've never met, that were out there in the middle of nothing, saw a whole gang load of trucks with rock drivers and rock supplies come around the corner.
Amen. Amen. I know someone's thinking, La Jolla Indians, is Indians in the Cove? Anyway, see all these red crosses? These are some of the places that the food and supplies that came here went. And like you said, as of Friday, it was about 10,000 people that were blessed by what you were doing here, and it was going out. And there's many more places. Potrero, which is not on this map, it's like probably, if it was the map, continued to be out in Rosecrans. But tell us about the Potrero story.
It was still Tuesday. It was one of the first things we got involved in. Casey Gwynn, who was the former city attorney here in San Diego, is now the CEO of YWCA. He was driving in his vehicle and heard someone, a woman, which we still haven't met, on the phone talking to one of the news stations saying that she was in Potrero, and I couldn't say that word for 48 hours, but I'll never forget it, Potrero, I can say it now. She was there with 60 families, completely isolated, and had no emergency services, nothing. So somehow Casey had heard, we still don't know that, he'd heard about what we were doing down here. This is still Tuesday, before we even made a hard decision, and he gets into the lobby, our facilities director called me. We started talking, we started collaborating. He called some friends of his in the Red Cross, and they brought some big vehicles down, like mobile frontline units, and they pulled up out on Womble. And we just started grabbing volunteers, you know, everyone was there, and just putting stuff in these trucks. And we prayed, and they left. And when he left, he still didn't know where this group was. He just knew on the map where they were. And he had contacted a corporation that had private helicopters, and he was planning on airlifting it in Wednesday morning at first light. But somehow, some way, and once again, we haven't had time to get the final end of the story, he got through the front lines, the blockades. We've been running blockades with police escorts for days before they even opened them up. And he got through, I think, even without that. And he pulled up to that woman at 12:45 a.m. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and with about 3 truckloads of supplies.
So this lady's out there in the middle of nowhere. Does anybody know where Potrero is? I never even heard of it until the fire. It's probably not a big city, huh? 60 families, this lady's out at 12:45 in the morning. This truck pulls up, and she's like, who are you, and what are you? How did you find out about me, and where did you come from? And tell us about that conversation.
Casey said she was crying, and like, it was the middle of the night. It's pitch black outside, and all of a sudden, these huge trucks come pulling up with everything, the medical supplies, food supplies. And she said, how did you get here, why are you here? He said that he told her he came to deliver a message, and that message was from the Rock Church, and it was that God loves you.
And they got everything they needed. Amen. Tell us about Miss Thang here and her role in everything.
How much time do we have? Tuesday, before everything was organized, one of the first people we assisted was El Cajon Apostolic Church. And we needed drivers. We didn't have any drivers. And Kira and her boyfriend were one of the first people to volunteer to take supplies out to them. That was Tuesday evening. She was back first thing Wednesday morning. We still haven't been able to get rid of her. And she started working down in the distribution headquarters down on the first floor where we were actually loading the supplies up. And eventually, I think it was by Thursday morning, we'd given her a radio because she had some experience in what we were doing. And from the time we gave her the radio, volunteers kept circulating in, you know, and Kira's 16. And volunteers kept coming in and going out, and we'd send them down there, some of the radio, some of them not. And they were all the way from, you know, 8-year-old kids to 50-year-old men and women that had, you know, executive experience. And it didn't matter which person that was, within 10 minutes of getting down there, they were all working for her and doing exactly what she told them to do. So, and that's been like that since then.
So tell us. Tell us your job. The radio did it. Once you have the radio, you're the man with the radio. So tell us what happened.
Actually, I got the radio from parking. I was looking for a glow-in-the-dark wiffle ball.
Oh.
To be honest. What's Nathan? Nathan was out there with me looking for that wiffle ball.
So tell us your job.
Oh, okay. So my job in distribution. I guess upstairs they were taking phone calls from places that needed stuff really bad, and so what they do is that they print them out on these little forms with like an address and a map quest, and I'd get about 6 or 7 people, and we'd all meet up in the room, and I'd be like, all right, this is what we need, this is what it's for, you get this, you get this, you get this, you get this, bring it back here, put it in boxes, tape it up, put like label it, put it in the back of these trucks, it needs to go right now.
Good.
And that's how everything kept circulating. And then I met you.
Then she met me. So here I am walking around. This is the story. Tony Atkins is one of our city councilwomen. She was here for about 3 hours walking around. And we were walking. I was showing her all the stuff that was going on, most of it by kids. When I say kids, under 30 years old. And so I'm walking down this hall looking at all these rooms, and she's tripping. And we walk into the room she was in. Now, she has a radio on her hip with the little wire and the microphone right here she's talking into. And so I walk in, and she's talking into the radio, and I'm like, and she just went, and just kept talking. So I was like, excuse me, okay? And so I walk past, and then, you know, I'm showing the councilwoman all the stuff, and I walk back in the room, and here she comes in. And I was like, she's like, you know, just walk by me, don't say nothing, right? So I was like, okay. You know, but it was cool because she was working. I didn't want to get in the way. So I go upstairs, and literally like 4 or 5 hours later, I come back down. I said, I'm going to go find that girl because I just want to, you know, give her some props for doing her job. So I come in, and then there she's in the room with the radio still talking, and I did like this. And she says, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong. People always think they're in trouble when I want to talk to them, right? And I was literally at a Charger practice once, and I said to one of the linemen, I said, hey, man, I want to go out to lunch with you. And his first words out of his mouth, what did I do? What did I do? It's like, oh, I look like the police. So anyway, I call this girl out, and I say, you know, what is your name? She, I says, you know, how old are you? 16 years old. And I go, you know, do you go to church here? She says, no, I don't go to church. We just came here today to volunteer. This is her first day in church right now, being here today. Amen. So we got her a Bible. Show your Bible. We got her a Bible. So she's gonna get in there. but it was just amazing. And again, there were a lot of people who did amazing things. Obviously, we can't tell it all. And we want to thank all of you and acknowledge you. One of the things we were doing, every time, when I say we, you know, we as a family, every time we would send stuff out, and right now there's trucks going to the La Jolla reservation out there and wherever it's going. And every time we would go out to take stuff somewhere, we had flyers made up because we are recruiting evacuees. So in other words, when we would go to Qualcomm, we would go, hey, if you want to get a place with a roof and some air conditioning, you need to come over to the Rock, okay? Because we got the hookups. So that woman, the woman on the video with the kids, she was at Qualcomm, okay? She came here with her kids, her mom, and everybody. And so we got a call that there were 118 elderly people between the age of, we later found out, between the age of 67 and 97. They got evacuated to San Diego High School. There was no air conditioning. It was smoky. It was hot. And Governor Schwarzenegger was over there, and we got this call that they needed supplies because when they showed up, they had nothing. There was no cots. There was nothing there. They just got dumped off at the high school. And so we sent trucks over there with stuff and a flyer, and we said, hey, y'all can stay at the gym, or y'all can come to the Four Seasons over here at the Rock. We'll cater you. We'll do everything because we had 800 volunteers just like piranhas looking for someone to help, right? So the person that was in charge of the elderly people happened to go to the Rock. So he comes over here, walks around, and that afternoon they were here, and we had so much fun. I went into the room and met them. We got a little video for them in a minute. But I went into the room. There was 118 of them. Now, you know, we don't have elderly people here, hardly any. Okay, we got a few here and there, you know, but just imagine 118 in one place. And so, I mean, it just doesn't happen. It just here anyway. And so I'm in the room, and Wednesday afternoon, it was like they got 20 minutes of adrenaline me. I was like just so jacked up, and I had to leave to go out of town. That I had to go to LA and come back that night. So I said, listen, I got to go, but I just want to say hi. And we were just like, burr. I said, what can we do for y'all? And one guy said, all I want to do is watch the World Series. Okay, we're going to try to hook you up. What else can I do? And I said, when you see these young people around here, just ask them to do anything. Even if you don't want anything, just ask them to do something for you because they want to help. They'll go to Starbucks, even if you don't drink Frappuccino Latte, just let them go do it. And so I left, and I'm telling you, these people were the sweetest, sweetest people. And watch this video. Break your heart.
Hello, Virginia. How are you? 96? Wow. You've seen a lot of stuff. I am 47. I'm like half.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
clouds, you know when you're told to evacuate, you try to get everything you need, but invariably you miss out. So when we arrived here, we found out our cell phone didn't have a charger. So one of the volunteers, her name was Sarah, and we thank you, Sarah, said, I saw a box of chargers. Let me go check it out. She came back with a charger. I'm going to give it to you to put back to the front desk.
You don't need it?
No, no.
Here goes one of my girlfriends. You can say hi to the camera. Tell them your name.
Hi, Marjorie Steele.
Do you have a good time over here at the Rock?
Wonderful. They treated us just really well, and we really appreciate it so much.
Well, we're gonna come see you at your place at the party.
Wonderful.
Okay. We're gonna boogie down. We're gonna boogie down.
Got here, my main object would be to see the World Series game starting that night. At first they said, nah, that's impossible. But then we got the word, and we saw it on the big screen in the sanctuary. We were all happy about it, not with the outcome of the game, but being able to watch it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thinking of 1 Corinthians, the greatest of these is love, and we've sure experienced it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you much. This is Brenda. Brenda, tell us what happened.
Yesterday, when our residents arrived, I was very concerned because they were displaced and a little shooken up. When we got here, there were beautiful young people here with smiling faces. They greeted them and got them off the bus, took care of their luggage, walked them in, set them down, gave them something to eat, and helped them. And it was such a wonderful experience. You could just see Jesus in every one of them. And I wanted to say thank you for that. And they parked their cars for them and helped them. And it was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
She ran away. She gonna make me cry. I'm telling you, this is what the church is about, what the gospel's about. It's not about having Sunday meetings. It's about loving people. And what an amazing opportunity. Make sure we take care of it. We have to make sure we take advantage of every opportunity we have to share the gospel. You never know what God can do. So it's a good day. It's a good day. I hope when you get old, which you will, unless you die before it happens. But when you get old and you can't take care of yourself and you have to use a walker and you have to depend on somebody else, that somebody takes care of you, like they got taken care of by you. And all those people were your age and they remember being young, they remember being able to do things for themselves. And now they come here, a place they've never been, people they've never seen, and they're kicked out of their home. And the older you get, that's a very hard thing to go through. And they came here and they got a lot of love. They got babied. They left here with a smile on their face. And let me tell you, I know God is smiling in heaven to have seen us treat them that way. And those people are friends. They're my BFF right now. And I was asking them, do you guys know what text message is? And they were like, yeah, we know what text message is. Do you have email? And, you know, they have email. And so we're going to have a party. We are literally going to go over there and have a party with them. One lady asked, could we make her a steak? And we didn't get a chance to make her a steak, but I found out that they have steak every third Wednesday of the month. So I'm going to go over there and have steak with her. And I challenged their shuffleboard champion, some woman. She's a shuffleboard. I told her, I never shuffleboard, but I'm going to come and whoop you, so you better practice. It was so much fun. They were sitting right in this section when you saw me talking to them, and we started telling old people jokes. And did you see the guy with the microphone in his hand? He was telling a joke, and some of them were good. They were kind of corny, but you know, I had to break it down for him. And But we had so much fun, and y'all have grandparents, and some of your grandparents aren't that old yet. Some may be, but I know they're not. My grandmother's 93, so she's that old. But I couldn't tell you how blessed I was to see the church bless them. And every person that I've talked to or heard about that stayed here, it was just overwhelmed with the love that they got when they came here. We had a group home from Descanso come here and stay, I think, 3 nights, about 40 teenagers from a group home. They stayed here. They were here at the same time. They were here, and we had 344 people. And it was just an incredible, incredible experience. It could have never happened unless people stepped up and did what they did. And so we want to thank you. I want to give all those people a hand that came and played. Now, some of you may be saying, you know, I didn't get a sermon tonight. And let me tell you, a lot of reasons, the reason we get a sermon is to not only teach you something, but to teach you something so you can be something. And when you be something, you do something. And it's not just for information for your head. A lot of times when you watch it happen, something clicks. And what happened this week was incredible. A lesson on service and applying the Bible and sacrifice. Some people, when tragedy happens, all they do is self-preserve. It's all about me. But you have to understand, Jesus Christ came and died for us. And he came, died for us, and he's pleading through us to the world. There is an earthquake going to happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen in your lifetime. But there's an earthquake supposedly coming to California that is going to be huge. And if it happens as they predict it could, it will be a lot worse than that. This building could be gone. Roads could be gone. Phone service could be gone. You can be cut off from people for weeks. Lights could be out. Internet could be out. We don't know what will happen. Gas lines could break. There'd be fires in the city, much less the rural areas, and no fire trucks to put them out. Death, disease, like we've never seen. Now, we don't know that, but could that happen? That is what they are predicting. I say all that to say that this was a warm-up, dress rehearsal, that we need to get ready. So if you have to evacuate or you get cut off from your family, you know exactly what to do. And so I want you to be thinking about not only what happened in the past week, but what you're going to do from this point forward. And we want to give you a bunch of stuff to think about. So if you could take out your bulletin and this stuff. Let's give them a hand as they're going down as well. Let's give them a hand as they're going down. Thank you. If you could take out the thing that looks like a lesson plan. We sent out a text message. How many of you did not get the text message? Say amen. Okay. We don't have your information. So if you could put your information on here, if you want us to communicate to you when things happen. Example, we have a storehouse now of building supplies because the relief effort is just beginning. We are going to continue to help families around San Diego County and beyond. We're partnering with the Red Cross and World Vision and the government and all these organizations. We're all talking about how we can continue to help people around San Diego with the relief efforts, with the cleanup efforts. We're going to have to help people clean up. And so if you can fill this out and give it to an usher. Also, if you can go to our website, everything's on the website. If you go to our website, we are putting together a volunteer database so we know who's available to do what. So if we need something, we can get in touch with you. Please go to the database and put your information in it. Also, if you have any video pictures of your experience over the last week and or if you want to take pictures and video of what you do from here on in, please submit that to us. We're going to have a blog. We want to put that up on our website and on YouTube so people can see what you guys are doing. Please keep a track of that. You can put a video of you talking, a video of whatever you're doing, pictures, type it in, and we'll get that information and get that out to the world. If you could take this card out. See this card right here? If you could take that out. And again, everything's on the website. We are putting together a rebuild kit for people who lost their home. We're collecting sponsors from different corporate sponsors. We're collecting gifts and coupons. from corporate sponsors, and we're going to put a little booklet together. We think it's going to be like a little coupon book to give people who lost their home. This is not for anybody else. It's not for someone who got drunk and lost their home and doesn't know where it's at. It's for someone who's... I lost my house. I don't know where it is. Can I get a rebuild kit? No. Your house had to burn to the ground, and you can't be living in it. You know, a lot of people want to take advantage of the situation. We have people here just taking shopping carts, you know, trying to get food and stuff for their house. But unfortunately, but this is for people who lost their home. We want to give this to them. They'll go to our website and redeem the kit that we are putting together as we speak. And once we get the kits together, we are going to have you deliver the kit to them and pray with them. Now, what you're going to do with this is we want to encourage you to go find somebody who lost their home and give them this card. Now, could we elect? No, we can't do electronically. They don't have a house. Can't find them. They don't have a house. So we have to have you find them. Also, we want you to talk to them. We want you to pray with them. You don't have to. You can give it to them and run. But if you're there, you want to ask them how they're doing and minister to them. Remember, it's a way to connect the people with the body of Christ. We gave you this mask, and the reason for the mask is it's symbolic of doing something. Okay, put this on and go do something. Go sweep. Go someplace where someone can't sweep the soot off their driveway and sweep it off for free. Sweep it off. Okay? If you have a house, you want to help us with a house with somebody who has had the house burned down, let us know. Actually, we had 73 people from the church call and say, well, we don't know if they're all from the church. 73 people call us and say, we have a room at our house we can take families in. We love it. So anything you can do. But this rebuild kit, all you have to do is find someone who lost their house and give this to them so we can help them in their rebuilding efforts. Okay, so if you just go to the website, all this stuff is on the website. We are going to be helping clean people's homes, so we're going to need a workforce to clean people's homes. And we're also getting calls still from churches and people all over the county. We need supplies. Can you send a truckload? And right now, this truck's driving out to the Indian Reservation, and we have all the stuff at our old church facility, and we're going to be shipping stuff out from there, and we don't know how long we're going to do it. We got the truck outside. You saw the big truck outside. We're still collecting our relief for people. Amen? What does all this mean? All this means is that God said, I need you. There are many parts of that video that make me cry. And I don't know why this particular scene makes me cry, but there's a scene of a guy walking through our lobby with two white bags of something. He had long hair. And just that picture of somebody carrying something for somebody else. And I was thinking right before the service today, how much it must bless God to see his people help somebody else. You can know the whole Bible inside out, but if you do not have love, it's a waste. It's a waste. And this is why this was such a great week. People just came here, and they were here day and night doing whatever they had to do. And people came here who had no home, and every single one of them said, I felt love. And that is the bottom line. And for that, I want to say thank you very much for your sacrifice. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much. What an amazing week. And there are so many people who are so tired right now. So many people who've sacrificed so much and worked so many long hours. But we thank you for them. We thank you that we were able to help. And Lord, I thank you so much for this church and the people of this church and the people who now understand firsthand more than ever before giving and helping and unselfishness. And Lord, I pray that that spirit would spread like fire through this church and that we would all have a heart to give. And Lord, that when we leave here, we would think, Lord, what do you want to do with me? And that we would look to our left and to our right when we go to school, when we go to work, when we go to the gym, that we would think, could God use me today? And I pray we would be people not consumed with ourselves, but preoccupy with your small, still voice of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing our actions, that we may be a light to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you one more story, please. One of our senators, we actually had representatives of the three senators, governor, come here, Red Cross, city council people. One of them was a woman named Ann, who is a assistant to one of our senators, and they came here and they toured the place. They were just amazed at how organized. A lady from the Red Cross, 12 years in the Red Cross, said it was the most organized evacuation center she had seen, and we're not an evacuation center. I mean, it was just, y'all just threw it down. And this one lady came here from the senator's office, and she was looking around, couldn't believe how organized it was, how many kids were here. She drives to Ramona, and the people in Ramona were being let back into the community, and they didn't have anything. So this lady gets on the phone. She calls the church. Now, I want you to understand this. When you have the world, the government, calling the church for help, that's the way it's supposed to be. There are certain things we're supposed to do. One of the reasons it doesn't happen because the church doesn't help. It's our fault. And so because they came here and saw we were helping, it's like, let me call them now. It's no red tape. She's in the government, no government. This is just so I can get these people to come up here. She calls us and she says, can you get some relief up here? Because I just came from your facility. These people up here don't need help. While she was talking on the phone, as the words were coming out of her mouth, trucks from the Rock pulled up right in front of her as she was talking. And she's like, man, you guys work really fast. That was incredible. It's incredible. When God calls you to do something, if you don't hesitate, you will be blessed. We could have sat around and calculated and thought about it for days and all to go away, and we would have never had the blessing. And when God calls you to help somebody tomorrow, tonight, to pick somebody up when someone drops something, to open a door for someone, to pray for someone, encourage someone, when God calls you to do it, if you do it, your life will never be the same. Amen? Let me pray for y'all. Lord Jesus, thank you that when you were going to be crucified, you just asked the Father, tell me what you want me to do. And you did it, knowing it was going to hurt, but also knowing you were going to be glorified and honored in the end. And I pray that everybody here would have that mind that you had. And you humbled yourself to the point of death. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for such an amazing church. Bless us as we go. May we go out and find these people who've lost their homes and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you.